Hi everyone, welcome back to a new episode of On The Verge. On today's episode, I am joined by Dasha, who is a travel content creator focused on balancing traveling while also having a full-time job that is in person, so she's not doing travel full-time. I think this is a great episode to listen to if you like to travel but keeping your 9-to-5 job. She has some great insights. I hope you enjoy it, and remember, you can now listen to the episode on all platforms and also watch it on YouTube. Thank you.
This is On The Verge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a new episode of On The Verge. I'm very excited for my guest today. I'm very glad she replied to my email. I was very excited when I saw Dasha in the name. As a quick introduction, today's guest is Dasha Kaufman, who is a travel influencer who focuses on traveling while also having a 9-to-5 and basically how you can do both. So I think that's a very cool concept for people because it's more realistic that sometimes the travel influencers that are like traveling all around the world, living like these lifestyles that just seems so unattainable for like the normal person. So thank you so much for coming on, Dasha.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So to get started, I don't know how much I told you kind of about the prompt of the podcast, but it's the audience I want to focus are people in their 20s kind of going through it, you know, like the quarter life crisis, figuring out what you want in your life. So before getting into the whole travel aspect, I wanted to ask for you what your 20s have meant and if there's any lessons that you're taking or you have taken away until now that you think are useful to share with people.
Yeah, I think that I've always wanted to travel after school. So like going into my 20s, I was always really interested in traveling, but I started off not working remotely. So my first job was pre-COVID. So I didn't ever like imagine a world where I could travel so much because that wasn't the norm. Like people traveled, but you know, we only had a certain amount of days off and whatnot. But I think the thing that I've taken away from like this experience is like really just, you know, if there's something that you want to do, you have to like do it now and not wait because you don't know when like the opportunity will not be there anymore. So I think like really, you know, you have this interest, do it now because you don't know what tomorrow.
That's very true. Yeah, I feel like people sometimes put goals that they're like, I'll do it in 10 years once I have this set. And it's like, you never can assure that you'll have things set in 10 years or in 15 years or whatever. So you'll just push things until suddenly it's like, wait, you didn't do it. And then maybe you never did. So that's very true. So would you be able to share kind of, you said you always had this interest in travel. Did you just one day wake up and was like, okay, I'm going to focus on this? Like, how did that process happen and how did you make it real, right? Because sometimes, especially with travel, that it takes money, it takes time, it takes all these things that like are logistical problems for a lot of people. How do you like make it go from the dream to actually having that life?
Yeah, I think it's just like starting with small things. So when I graduated, I took like 2 trips before COVID. So I went to France and I went to Argentina and I started small. I mean, for a lot of people, that one trip is big for them. So I don't want to say like that's small for me, like whatever, for everyone it's different. So like just taking that first trip, like I speak to a lot of people at work and they're like, oh, I would love to do this, but you know, I don't have days off. But you know, like Iceland, for example, it's only 4.5-hour flight. So you really don't need to take off that many days of work. And it doesn't need to be as expensive as you think it is. I think there's like this idea that traveling is super expensive and it can be, but if your goal is just to travel, like you don't have a specific place in mind, you can make it work for you, whatever budget that you have. So I think that like taking small increments and like getting to where I want to go to the point that like, for me, it feels normal. Like I wouldn't imagine a year where I'm not taking multiple trips because that just is like how I've built up that way. So I think starting small and like deprioritizing things that make it hard for me to prioritize travel, like maybe I won't spend on shopping, for example. Like you can't, I heard a good quote the other day. It was like, you can have it all, but not all at once. So,
Yeah.
if what you want to do now is travel, but you also want to build a life in New York City, like maybe you can't do this two at the same time, but you can like prioritize things in different seasons, you know?
Basically, learning also what your priorities are for your life and putting energy into those. And that's a really good quote. I think it's like you can make things happen, but you can't make everything happen all the time. So you do need to learn like what your priorities are and focus on those. Absolutely. So I also saw that you were full-time traveling for a year. When did that happen and how is that? Because I imagine it's a lifestyle that, yes, can be probably incredible, but it also definitely has hardships where like you don't really have a home for a year, you're going all around the world. Like, how was that experience for you?
Yeah, I think so. Like with everything, there's positives and negatives. I made like a video once about like whether I thought full-time travel was overrated. I think that the one bad thing about it is that you really do like lose out on opportunities to grow your friendships. Like the obvious one is family. Like, you're not going to be around for the big things in family, but your family is kind of like always there for you. But your
Yeah.
friends, it's like, yes, they are always there for you, but when you're not around them all the time, they learn to live like kind of without you. Like they know that
Yeah.
you're there, but they learn to live without you. So like I think coming back home and being like, oh, like maybe I need to reinvest time. It's not just picking up, right where I left off. I can't just come home for like 2 weeks and everything's going to be the same because, they've been doing things without me. They've been building relationships without me. So I think that was the part that was really hard. I think also like living in New York, there's like a hustle culture, a grind culture. And, I wanted to be like, should I be focusing on my career? Should I be, traveling and not putting my 100% into either category? I think that like if I were to do it again, I would just like I would pick one thing to prioritize, kind of like what I was saying before, like from what I've
Yeah.
read. But the positives are like you really learn about a place when you spend a lot of time there. And I think that that's not something that's granted to you when you're just traveling for a short amount of time. Like
That's
living in a
very true.
place, finding your coffee shop that you go to every single day for 2 weeks, a month, however long you're staying there. Like you're really interacting with the local community. You're making friends. You don't know what it's like to live in a place if you've only spent a couple of days there. So I think that's like a unique part of travel that a lot of people aren't granted because they don't have the opportunity to travel for a long time.
Yeah, like the time. It feels when you said that, my mind went like, I feel like I travel sometimes. I have a checklist that I'm like running against, and you have to like take these are all the things I want to do. And sometimes it's like, I think even if you don't have the time to try to absorb what you can instead of going and be like, I did this. But definitely, I think with longer term travel, that's like a huge benefit where you do get to experience the places in a more authentic way. And that's probably incredible. So, what does travel mean to you? And why do you think it's so important for you?
I think that like the times that I've traveled that I felt the most fulfilled is like when I've been able to learn about the community, like immerse myself in a community, get to know like the local people. I think that like, I like to travel, for food and for sights and, for nightlife, whatever it is. And those things are really cool and it's cool to experience that in other places. But like what the real purpose is like being able to see something outside of like your everyday life. And even living in New York, which is so diverse and you get to speak to a lot of people from a lot of different places, it's not the same as speaking to someone who's lived across the world from you their whole life and they've just had like a totally different life experience to you.
Yeah.
So I think that it broadens your mind and it like makes you think of like how you can change things in your everyday life, like take positives from different cultures to give yourself like a more well-rounded daily life in your normal life too.
And this also like when you said that and before you said that you were like trying to balance these two things and maybe focusing on one, do you ever see a point in your life where like travel would become maybe like because you work at a media agency, by the way. I work at a
Yeah.
media agency
Oh,
too.
really?
Yeah.
Cool.
I think it's like it's basically like you're split between these two worlds, no? Do you ever see the traveling life becoming a profession? Maybe even not for just for yourself, but doing something with that.
Yeah. I think about that all the time. Like I think about it in two ways. Like, one, would it be really cool to, be a travel influencer full time? And like I see a lot of people who do that. And like part of that, it feels like not fun anymore. Like when your hobby becomes a job, like your full-time job, because influencing can be part-time income. But when it becomes your full-time job, it's like you're not traveling for the things that you want to travel for anymore. You're traveling because you know that content's going to do well and that's going to, get brands to notice you and whatever. But then on the flip side, if content creation is not involved at all and it's just me exploring the world and money is not a factor, like I think that would be a really amazing way of life. Like obviously being able to just like be free of any responsibility is obviously a dream.
I love that for you. It's a passion-driven thing. I think that's also why I saw your content and I loved it, because I feel like also in the end, the consumer can really tell when you're putting out things because you actually love being there and love like sharing your experience from a more like, this is good for me and I think this is a great adventure, more than like I'm trying to get you to buy this.
I don't know if that makes sense, but
Yeah.
I feel like I can really make the distinction, at least with the content that I see. So when you come back to New York, right, you've been traveling and it's the good life, it's more relaxed and you meet all these good people, you have cheaper and sometimes even probably better food and just an incredible experience of like the abroad that I think it's easy to idealize when you're just there traveling. How do you come back to New York and you're like, okay, now we get to the grind, we get to the pace of the city, I go to the office. Well, I don't know if you go often, but just getting into the grind, basically. How does that transition work?
Yeah, I think in the beginning it's like difficult because I'm idealizing life in this other place. Like life would be so much better if, I lived in X place. Like, if I lived in, Argentina, I would, I love the culture of like staying out late, like dinner is later and people connect more. Or in Japan, it's safer and cleaner and the people there are so like respectful. There's things about every culture that I'm like, wow, I would love that.
Love this.
But like my mom always says, like, life is not vacation though. So, when you're having this experience, yes, if you stay there for a month or two, you do experience the culture more, but you're not, you don't have a career in that country. You don't have to deal, maybe with economics or the politics of that country.
Yeah, Argentina is a great example for that.
So I think it's very different. Like you have to remember that like it's not going to be sunshine and rain was that in that other place. And like there's pros and cons of living everywhere. Like there's positives
For
about New
sure.
York that aren't in Europe or Latin America or wherever else in the world. So at first it is really hard and I'm like, oh, I want that all the time. But then I have to remind myself that like there are positives about, living here as well. And that's the beauty of travel is that, I can go back to those places and I can like, pretend to live in that life for a little bit.
It's my understanding that you do travel a lot using your paid time off more than just like working remotely and stuff. And I think a lot of people are in that position where they have 9-to-5 jobs and maybe they can't work from anywhere. And they're like, oh, travel's impossible for me. But somehow you make it happen.
Yeah. What's the advice for people in that position where they're like, I really do want to start traveling, but I feel like I don't have the time, like I can't cope with work because I can't work from anywhere. How did you make that work?
yeah so what I do is I like well I'm crazy, like I plan my where I want to travel like years in advance, and my boyfriend is like, you're ridiculous, you don't know what's going to happen in a few years. But to me it's like I can always shift it. I just like to know, I like to have a plan of action. So it's like going into the year, I know that I'm going to be not working for 2 weeks in, I don't know, August, 1 week in October, 10 days here, whatever it is. And like I know that in the times that I'm home, like I need to like put emphasis on work or friends or whatever it is that I'm, looking to prioritize. like also communicating that with my team that, you know, I really do like to travel. That's a passion in my life. Like some people have other passions and some people like to go to the gym, right? And that's important to them. And they need to make a gym class by like, I don't know, 5 p.m. every day and they end work at 6. Like that's something that they communicate. So this is something that, you know, I want to communicate. But I think that like a lot of people, they feel scared to like take time off. I know that, you know, not every job has that many days off, but not every, I don't want to generalize. I would say a lot of jobs have the opportunity where you can take at least one trip a year. It doesn't
Yeah,
have
for
to
sure.
be,
For
yeah, it
sure.
doesn't have to be for 2 weeks. It doesn't, whatever it is, but I think that people feel scared to take time off because they don't, I don't know, they're scared to ask, but that's like part of your compensation package. So if you're not taking those days, then you're not like, you're not making the most amount of money that you should be making, essentially.
Amen to that. Like, I fully agree with that statement. I do think that it's a cultural thing in that sense where it's like people are scared. It also really depends on the culture of the company because I know in some teams it's probably like frowned upon to take time off, but it's true. It's like it's a contract. You're working for money and part of your compensation package are days off. So like literally if you're not taking it, you're giving more than you should be, and like I don't think that's too smart. So I agree with that. It's like maybe it's not realistic for every job to be like, oh, take 4 times off, 4 trips in a year. I think media agencies as well, like culture-wise, they're pretty like you can communicate those needs. I don't know where you work, but for example, for me, we have something that's like appreciation week. So like I can take a week off without it's like everyone has a week off. So it's there's no like frowning upon someone who went for 2 weeks because it's like 1 week is off for granted. So I think culturally, like it works better for some jobs than for others. But even if you're in an industry where like where flexibility or days off are not seen in a very positive light, you still at least have like what 10 days off. That's enough to travel at least once a year. So that's a and I think it's the planning and prioritizing it are probably two key factors as well. That makes a lot of sense. And you choose to be based in New York. Do you think that's like does that make it easier to travel, or in some senses does it make it harder? Do you think for other people with 9 to 5 jobs, maybe being based in a city that's maybe cheaper or something like that can allow for travel more easily? Or at the same time, maybe New York, I don't know, has great deals because it's such a centric place. How do you view where you're based to allow your travel life as well?
I definitely think that like New York is not the most like economical option for me. It's like not that I don't have another option, but I grew up in New York City, so like my whole family lives here and like my friends, so I couldn't see myself, not that I couldn't see, I could see myself living somewhere else, but like as of now it's just my whole life is here. But I think if you're someone who has no ties to New York whatsoever, I do think that New York has a lot of like opportunities for like direct flights or easier travel access. But like, you know, cities like, it depends, you know, Boston or Atlanta, Los Angeles, you know, towards Asia, probably not to Europe. That probably wouldn't be as convenient. But like, I think that like if your goal is just to have like a home base and you're constantly traveling, New York probably wouldn't be the best option. But for me, it's like just what I know.
It works. It balances your life in a way that works for
Exactly.
you.
That's what it is. It balances my life. Like I think if someone, you know, their whole family lived in Atlanta, like they would make that work for them as well. It'd probably be a little bit cheaper than New York, but it helps me because when I'm not traveling, then I have everything, you know, my family and my friends here. So it's easier for me.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And I think it's kind of what you were mentioning in the beginning that you have like these two lives and you need to kind of maximize both. So you being based in New York allows you to like build on those friendships and your family ties and all these things. And also like kind of focusing probably a bit on your career as well, that New York does have great opportunities. I know at
That's
least in
true.
the media agency world, it's like
No, I
it's
think like,
big.
agency life and advertising is a huge industry. So,
Huge.
yeah.
On a lighter note as well, I have a couple questions on just like your traveling experiences. What's a good travel story that you can share with people that you've had? It can be like funny, crazy, whatever. Maybe one spot in the world that you're like, oh, this happened and was amazing. Or sucked, maybe. I don't know.
I guess I'll just say the first one that comes to mind. So I went to Ecuador last summer in August, and I'm not like an outdoorsy person at all. Like I love to go to cities, like I love big cities. And we went to the Amazon rainforest for a couple of days. That is like completely outside of my comfort zone. Like, not roughing because we stayed in a nice place and we had like a really beautiful accommodation, but the activities that we were doing were all, we were going through caves and, I don't know, trekking through caves, like night watching, looking at different like animals in the night and things like that. And then we got presented with the opportunity to go white water rafting, which like I couldn't like sleep the night before. Like I get anxious
Oh
over
no.
like lack of control. Like I don't like to not know like what's going to happen. Like I fear like flying and stuff like that. Like I don't like to transportation freaks me out sometimes. So I was so anxious. They're reading us the safety tips and I'm like, I need to find a way to get
Freaking
out of
out.
this. Like I can't do this. But we were with my boyfriend's family, so obviously I can't back out of it. So whatever, we go and they're like, oh, we're gonna be in the water for 4 hours. I'm like, oh my God, like I don't know what I'm going to
This
do.
sounds like a nightmare.
It was a nightmare. And then when we got on the boat, like after the first wave where I was panicking, like it got easier over time. And like there was a moment that we were just like coasting on the water and I was like looking at all the scenery of the Amazon rainforest and like all the mountains. And I was like there's rarely times when you're go, 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 that you get to just like sit there and be like, wow, like I can't believe that I'm sitting on this raft in the middle of the Amazon rainforest right now. Like this is crazy. I think it just feels like a memorable story because it's something I feared so much. I was like, how can I get out of this? And then it turned into like such a memorable moment that I was like, I couldn't imagine not doing that. And now I would do it all over again.
Yeah, that's a great lesson. It's like also try to do the things that scare you because sometimes they will lead to the best things that you ever did.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love rafting, but
Oh,
it's
really?
like I'm the opposite. I love like adventurous travel.
Okay.
So, but each one has their preferences.
Yeah.
I think also that within the travel world, there's like sometimes it seems that you need to be a sort of person or like certain things to be able to travel, but there's everything around the world. So like
Yeah.
you can be a more city person and travel to certain places. You can be super adventurous and travel. Like
Yeah.
there's such
Agree.
a wide range of things that you can do while traveling. That sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
I've never been. I would love to go. What are some places that you think are that you've been good for people maybe traveling their 20s? Do you usually, and another question is, do you usually travel alone? And what did you learn from solo traveling?
So I don't like travel alone usually, but I like to take a day. Like when I'm traveling with my friends, usually that's not true with my boyfriend as well. Like I usually have a day or a few days where I am like solo. Like I feel like
Yeah.
I'm pretend not pretending I'm solo traveling, but they have other priorities for the day, let's say. But I'm not fully solo traveling. So like I wouldn't say I can give advice on how to solo
Okay.
travel, but I will say that I think if you're scared of solo traveling, but it's something that interests you, I think when you're on a trip with other people, I think like it's really cool to take a day to just like be by yourself. I feel like that's why people love to solo travel because they just get to do whatever they want for the day. I like to like meet up with the people later and like know, when I go to sleep tonight, like they'll be there. But I do like the idea of like a day just solely dedicated to everything that you want to do in that place.
Yeah, fair enough. And in terms of the recommendation for people in their 20s of maybe places that you've been that you think are cool spots for people traveling.
Yeah, I think that if you're on the younger side of being in your 20s, I think that Budapest is a really awesome destination. They have great nightlife, tons of history, culture, food. It's very affordable. And then like later part of your 20s, I feel like maybe I would say Japan. I feel like there's just so much to do. It's also very go, go, go. And if I were older, I don't think I would have the energy to do a trip like that. Like, there's just
Okay.
so, like,
That
by the end of the trip, you are like exhausted. And I think also, like, going there when you're younger, like, I think it just opens your mind because, it is basically around the world, right? So, like, I think
Yeah.
that, or yeah, I think Japan or Budapest. There's so many, like, I think
I
anywhere
love
when
both.
you're.
Those recommendations are places that been wanting to go for. I mean, Japan is like number one in my list.
Yeah.
And I do prioritize travel in my life. I love traveling. I try to do it as much as I can. I told you because I'm from Argentina,
Yeah.
I think for people who live abroad, it's a struggle to balance like visiting friends and family and also traveling. So Japan, it's like it's been on my mind for so long, but I want to go for an extended period of
Yeah.
time because it's so far and it's also not that cheap. So, but
Yeah.
I'm
Yeah.
prioritizing that one for sooner than later because it is a destination that I just always dreamt about and
Yeah.
I really need to do it. And Budapest, I've always heard good things. So people in your 20s go to Budapest and go to
Yeah.
Japan.
Yeah.
What are some trips that you have planned that you're excited about?
I'm going to Guatemala to learn Spanish, actually. I'm going to stay in a homestay, so that'll be interesting.
Wait, tell me more about that. That sounds so cool.
So it's like basically this program I found on TikTok, but you can stay
Guys,
in this.
TikTok is like has all the information you need.
Yeah, literally. But you stay at a homestay with a family, and there are other people who are like doing the program. I don't know if they stay in the house with you. I'm going with my friend. And then during the day you take Spanish lessons, and then you like eat with the family. Well, for lunch you eat with the other like people who are learning Spanish, but for dinner you eat with the family, you do activities with the family and the other groups there. It's on the lake, so it's like at Lake Atitlan, so it's on the lake, it's very like relaxed. And then when your Spanish lessons are over, you just like explore the lake. So I think it's a cool
Wow.
way. Yeah,
How long are you going there for?
I'm only going for a week because of all the other like things that I have planned, but I think it would be really cool to go for longer.
Yeah, that's very cool though. That's gonna be a wonderful experience. And it's just the concept of, I think, staying with people from there and like living that experience, I think will connect to, like, even if you're there for 1 week, to the place in a way that, like, it's just not possible without engaging with locals that much. So that's very cool, very exciting. Do you speak any Spanish already?
No, so I wouldn't say I try so hard, but like I'm always around my boyfriend's family, so like they're always
Yeah.
speaking Spanish, so I feel like I understand like things. And when we're in Argentina, everyone's speaking Spanish around me, so I can like pick up on things. But to speak, no, I think I'm just so anxious about the accent because I know I just sound so like I don't have a good accent at all.
Look, here I have one piece of advice because I have an accent and I have to speak in English. I'm doing a podcast in English for God's
Yeah.
sake, and I have an accent. I think there's nothing better than having an accent because it shows like a part of your story and that you're
Yeah.
trying. So like truly embrace your accent and don't give a shit about it. I think also people appreciate people with accents because it's like you're speaking in a language that's not your own. So
Yeah, that's true.
that's actually something to admire.
Yeah.
Go ahead and
No, I
like speak
agree.
more.
I agree.
It must be
I want
such
to,
a
but
nightmare in Argentina.
I just get nervous.
Fair.
And like I took Spanish in middle school, so I know, like, I wouldn't say that I say like how in Argentina like the dialect is different, so I tried to like switch over to that, and I get confused. So
I mean, our accent and our slang is also so strong and particular. But yeah, I do see what you
yeah,
mean.
the slang, I know that kind of stuff, because I hear like my boyfriend and his friends all the time, so that I'm like fluent in slang, I feel like. But yeah, no, I definitely need to get better and practice some more. I mean, I basically can practice at home, so I should
Yeah.
take advantage of it.
I mean, do it when you can, but I think it's always useful to learn a new language. So what you're gonna do in Guatemala sounds like a great first step.
Yeah.
So I'm happy you're doing that. Since you mentioned Argentina and I'm from Argentina, like I cannot avoid this question. Have you traveled just to Buenos Aires or have you traveled around Argentina? And what are some recommendations that you might have for people traveling there? Because I feel like for me as a local, sometimes people ask me for recommendations. I'm like, dude, I literally go to Argentina and hang out with my dogs for like 2 weeks and do nothing else. So I'm not the best person to give advice on. But I don't know if you've been, you'll answer this now. But Patagonia for me is maybe my favorite place on earth. I think it's
Yeah,
the
I
most
haven't been
beautiful.
to Patagonia. I really want to. I've only been to Iguazu, so that's the only other
Okay.
place that
That's
I've
cool
gone.
though.
So I haven't gone to Patagonia and I haven't gone to like Mendoza. I haven't gone to Salta. Like I haven't gone to any of those places.
Yeah.
So, and like every time I go to Argentina, it's like a new place unlocked. Like this person will be like, oh, I went to this place. Like, you have to go there. And I'm like, oh, there's just so many places and they're all, you have to fly. And,
Yeah,
but
it's big.
with every trip, like we'll go to another part of Argentina and then one day it'll be like, we'll have seen so much of it. But I guess I can only really speak for Buenos Aires, but like I just think that like there's so much to do in Buenos Aires. Like I think that I don't think like a lot of people in the United States know like enough about Buenos Aires. Like I think that they have like an image in their mind maybe from like sports or the news. I feel like that's like sports and the
Yeah,
news are
it's
like,
like their economy is shit and they have good football
yeah,
or
or that
soccer.
they have good
Soccer.
steak or whatever
Good
it
thing.
is. Like Argentina and Buenos Aires, like there's so much amazing culture, there's so much to do. Like the only recommendation I would have is like for someone to just go there and just like exist there, like spend your
Yeah.
days like walking around, like exploring all the different neighborhoods, walking around, like meeting people, trying different foods. Like there's just so much to see. And like expanding outside of Buenos Aires too. Like there's so much.
For sure.
I feel like a lot of people go to Patagonia. Like I feel like that's a big
Yeah.
destination, but there's, like it's a huge country. Obviously there's like,
Yeah. And the north of Argentina, like Jujuy, Salta, those places are, I think, less famous than maybe Patagonia, but they're incredible. They remind me, I think some places in the US are also underrated, like some of the national parks in like Utah and Arizona and places like that. And I think the north of Argentina, there's some resemblance to some places like that. And it's very beautiful. But that advice on traveling, and I think it really applies to Buenos Aires, but it's also kind of can be taken for many cities, is trying to live them. Like just go and try to make it your life. Doesn't matter how long you're going for. I think it's the best advice you can give. With a city like Buenos Aires, I agree. There's like there's so much life and it's so livable that it's cool to go s just exist there. So that's awesome, awesome tip for people. Any other knowledge that you want to pass on, whether for travel or just like existing in your 20s and coping with just a decade that can be really challenging, but at the same time, fun and great.
yeah, I probably could like talk for days, but I feel like I think that like when you're in your 20s, like I'm sure as like it just passes you by. Like I always talk to my friends that I still feel like I'm 21, but I don't even know how old I don't even know how old I am. Like I'm turning 27 in November, so I still have time.
But
But
also,
like
I was talking to someone about this. You're like 25 because of COVID.
yeah,
I'm 25. I'm like, no, I'm 23.
right. So, yeah, I think it's just like it passes by so quickly. And like, you really, there are people who have responsibilities in their 20s, but like, this is a time in your life where like you have the opportunity to try new things, make pivots, move to new cities, travel. No one's like, no one else cares really what you're doing. Like, you may think people care, but so I think you should just like do everything now. And then later on, you can kind of like go back to what you learned from that. Like if you learning a new language, like maybe you won't like it, so you won't return to it, but maybe you'll learn that that's an amazing hobby that you want to continue practicing for the rest of your life. Like my mom, She's a big like language person. She learned French in her 20s and now she's like learning, even more languages and going back to school. So I think in your 20s, like you really establish the things that you want to continue on in your life. And this is where you have
Yeah.
the time to do practice everything and see what you want to continue on.
Love that. And I think what you said about your mom, that it's like she discovered it in her 20s, but she's still doing it now. It's like your life doesn't end at 20, at 30. Like you have your 20s to explore it and maybe engage with some of the things that you'll do for the rest of your life. So go ahead and try them. I love that. That's a really like insightful thing to say. And I know it can sound really obvious when you say it, but it's really good to remind yourself because on paper, it's, yeah, try things in your 20s, right? It's so easy to say. But then I feel like so many of us don't live life actually making that happen and trying new things. So, yeah, love that. And one last thing that I ask every single person, so this applies to everyone. I think the content that we consume really does shape how we feel and I don't know how we view the world. Is there any book, movie, TV show, or just any kind of content recommendation that you might have for whoever's listening?
Yeah, there's this girl on YouTube, but she's writing a book, which I think the book will be even better. I don't know if you heard, her name is Lexi Limitless. Her name's Lexi Alford, but her like at is Lexi Limitless. I think she's like 26 and she's gone to every single country in the world.
Yeah, I've heard of her.
Yeah, and I think she's just like so cool. Like all of her videos like I think it's so cool how she is so positive about like every culture in the world. Like she's done so many things and like she's so impressive. Like now she's working like with a company to drive around the world basically like in a electric vehicle. Like she just continues to like break
Wow.
records. And I think it's like the break record part that's so like inspiring. And like whenever I'm like, oh, I'm scared to do this or I'm scared to whatever, I'm like, well, she's, 26 and she's been to every place in the world and majority by herself. Like I think that's so inspiring. Like, so I think when her book comes out for sure, but like she makes tons of YouTube videos and she has like a newsletter and all that. So I love to like follow her life. I think she's like super inspiring.
That story is incredible. I've heard of her. I think I've seen some of her videos. I didn't know she was doing that you just mentioned with the electric vehicle. That's also really groundbreaking because she's a woman. And I hate to like set apart the fact that like gender does matter so much, but it's, I think, often like promoted that traveling as a woman is not that safe, that like there's all this like extra hassles that you have to go through. And I think in many instances it's true, like you do have to be more careful as a girl. I do hate the subset like girls who travel or solo girls or like whatever. I've talked about it in an episode that I did with a friend. She's like, why does it even exist? And she made me think of that and I was like, that's so true. Why like girl traveling is a sub-segment of traveling when like men travel is not. But I love that it's a woman doing that, to be honest, because that just is really brave and I think just demonstrates that even if you have maybe more challenges just based on gender, it's still doable. You can really just put a goal and do it no matter the things that you have against you, basically.
Agreed.
Dasha, you've been amazing. I really love all your insights. I love your content. Keep doing it.
Thank you.
Keep traveling. Keep sharing it. Maybe I'll see you in New York. I'd love to
Yeah,
meet
or
you in person,
Argentina.
but or in Argentina, yes. But thank you so much for your time again. I really do think this is great for people to hear that want to make travel real. And I love bringing people that I'm like, you're communicating things that feel achievable for people.
Thank you. I appreciate
And I
it.
think that's so great.
Thank you.